In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark and Sam Robertson, as we answer some of your questions that you've put on our Instagram chat, like, how do you pray? How have we got such great fashion? And how does Sam and I meet? This is an interesting one. You'll learn lots. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another action-packed episode of What the Prophets Say from our studio in Glasgow in Scotland with me, Emma Stark, and Sam Robertson. We are back at our table. We are chatting about all things of the spirit, prophecy, deliverance, warfare, and life in Christ. How are you, Sam?
Yes, I am well. I'm excited for this conversation.
Good. Now, as you know from our last chat, Sam had asked some of you on Instagram, what do you want us to talk about? And you mainly said worship, but you said some other interesting things. Hit us with some of them, Sam, and we'll see what we could do to help people out.
Well, I mean, here's the first one, which is probably not all that spiritual, but I just think it's funny. Where did you both get your epic fashion styles from?
Oh, I'm glad they said epic.
Epic, I know. I was with fire emojis following it.
Oh, no, that's our favourite person today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's funny, isn't it? Prophets by call are quite edgy,
yeah,
and pursuing holiness and wanting change and don't like the status quo. And I think that does come out. You're pushing it. You're pushing things in all ways.
Yeah.
Home decorations, fashion. Yeah. I just painted a room navy.
Yeah, completely. Every wall.
Yeah. The ceiling as well. So thank you that we're hitting it. Whoever that was, that's very kind.
Thank you, Donald.
Is that Donald? Donald who?
It just says Donald _.
Oh. Do Thank people you. Not have to put their full names?
No. Well, most people give themselves another name.
Do they?
On Instagram, yeah. So thank you. At least we got your first name.
Right. That seems to me dishonest or hiding.
Yeah.
Or is maybe, that my age?
Or maybe
speaking?
His surname is just _. Mr. Donald _. Thank you for saying that we had epic style.
Oh, man. Next question.
No, our next question actually, there's a lot of questions about private devotional times and worship and prayer. And a lot of people want to find out, I think people want to have a window into what it looks like in each of our lives. What does your prayer time look like, Emma? What does it look like when you're just yourself with the Lord, with the Spirit of God? What is that like? How do you pray?
Okay, we can do that. Yeah.
There's that. And then a lot of people want to know how we met.
Really?
Yes. I have three different people. How did you and Emma meet? How do you both know each other? And how did you find out that you were a prophet and should join Global Prophetic Alliance?
Huh. Well, go for it.
Well, I remember.
Do you?
And of course, the meeting was nothing short of a drama. Our introduction. My parents were part of a small group of people that planted a house church when I was 13, 14. Not long after, I think, Glasgow Prophetic Centre had started. Maybe a year or 2 years
what
after.
Year was this?
Oh, when was I 13? 14 years ago.
Yeah, we just started.
So you must have just started. Yeah. And we were, my family, my upbringing, very traditional, didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit crashed into the scene and we all of a sudden became hungry. We had everybody within Scotland who we knew of that had something of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We heard that there was this drama of prophets, a group of prophets in Glasgow called, at the time, Glasgow Prophetic Centre, led by Emma and David. And we invited you along and you brought to our church of 40 your entire team of prophets. I think all of Glasgow Prophetic Centre.
Well, we had no idea what we were doing back then. So we thought agreement in numbers might be the way to go.
Here's us, ex-brethren, kind of starting to get introduced to the Spirit of God. Yeah. And in walks about 15 prophets from Glasgow Prophetic Centre and starting to prophesy, and literally the whole time I'm going, oh, I could do that. I think I could do that. I think I could do that. And that was where the meeting began when I was 13 years old.
Wow. That's incredible. It's funny. And we were very naive. I think sometimes I still am. But that sense of like, I just gone to my minister and said, I'd like to hear the voice of God more. Can I run a school? And it wasn't this, you know, yes, there's impact and yes, there's influence and yes, there's podcasts and books. But you do always start in small, do not despise the day of small beginnings. The scripture says, the sense of God, I just want to hear your voice more.
Yeah.
And what happened then? Because, of course, I would have preached on who knows what, but I would have prophesied and preached
culture
over your
of
church.
Honor.
Did I?
Yeah. You preached on the culture of honour, but you prophesied over everybody that moved. All of your team just descended.
Did we?
Wow. But I think because I knew that, I there was something in me that I was like, I can do that. And actually, I'd had visions before, but being in the tradition I was in, I actually just thought it was my imagination or it was something dodgy. But realising that there was something good in me of God to prophesy and that there were others like me. And I think from about 14, my mum and dad would drive me to every Glasgow Prophetic Centre event training school. I think I was probably the youngest in the room always.
Quite
because
possibly.
I just wanted to learn and to develop and to grow. It was just, oh, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. I mean, kudos to my mum and dad.
So that was when you were 13. My first memory strongly is of you turning up as an intern.
Yes.
With your slippers.
My tartan slippers.
And then me going, what on earth are you doing? Oh, God told me I'm at home here. So I brought my slippers and you sat down with your slippers on at a desk.
Yeah, you just wore my slippers the entire time in the office in Glasgow.
How did we get to that point?
Well, I started volunteering, I do not know how, for your children's team. When
what?
We did a children's ministry.
No, you
ministry.
Did not.
I did, because a member of my church was a very skilled children's minister and asked me to come along on the team. So you start, there was a children's ministry we used to do for
children
encounters.
Children hearing in the spirit, that's right.
And so I came along and volunteered on that practically. Please don't think I have I'm not called to children. I don't know how I ended up there, but that's where I ended up. You spotted me. And we had a conversation and you were like, come in for a meeting tomorrow. And I'm
Did
like,
I?
I'm meeting with the Emma Stark. Oh my goodness. And we had a meeting the next day about my future, my life, my call, my purpose. Mm-hmm. And what I remember is you started the meeting with a bowl of hot porridge. We got so distracted in our conversations for about 3 hours that by about 12 midday, you were still eating a bowl of cold porridge because you hadn't finished
standard.
It.
I have to say it's quite standard. I don't know that I ever have a hot cup of tea, hot cup of coffee.
It's always cold by the time you get to
it. I kind of got used to it now. We get distracted. So that's how we met.
That's how we met.
And the rest, they say, is history. And you're just a delight and in every way. And it's the sense of... you choose, don't you? Choose to be together. You choose to love each other.
Yeah.
You choose to be in each other's spaces.
Absolutely, it's a choice.
It is. Okay. So, what other questions are there?
You guys are really desperate to know about, I think, how we pray, our personal devotion time. Someone actually asked me, "What's it look like when you're alone with God?" You know, asking me directly, and how do you guys pray and hear God personally? And I think it goes quite well in these podcasts. The previous one, we talked about corporate worship, but we never had the opportunity to talk about the lifestyle of worship, that actually corporate worship is an expression amongst many other expressions of adoration. And actually all of life has the potential to be framed as worship and as adoration. So Emma, what does it look like?
Oh, you're asking me the question.
I am. For you know, beyond the sermon prep, or in fact, no, not beyond the sermon prep, beyond the sung worship or the corporate space of together with others.
Okay, I thought you said the sun worship.
No, the sung worship, or the worship of Jesus the
right,
Son of God.
Going,
but
going.
Sung worship in the corporate space, or corporate public worship. How is that framed in your life? And what is your invite to our listeners, who are very worshipful, I'm sure, into more adoration personally?
Good question. It depends what stage you're in life. And you cannot ever say about your relationship with Jesus Christ that it's the same when you're giving birth to, when you're young, free and single, to when you're older and more decrepit. you know, it is different. It's not a one size fits all. I do know that when I worked for the pharmaceutical industry and worked for national newspapers before that and that kind of stuff, that you're always snatching moments, aren't you? Because there's this press. So you learn how to pray on the train, in the car. You learn how to, you know, grab moments earlier in the day when you're up early and you're putting in some worship time. You learn how to balance, don't you, this devotion to God around this other working life. And I think what happens is that God grows and grows and grows within you, or should, until he's in very much takeover mode. I think that's very clear in Ephesians, that I come to him, I surrender to his kingship, I acknowledge my need of a savior, I confess my sin, he's the Lord and savior, and he's the king of my life, and he grows inside of me till he takes over everything. And so my conversations become more and more peppered and savored with him. It's more evident as I grow up in him that he is my everything. So what starts as a, oh my goodness, I'm saved, becomes something overwhelmingly dominant as you go through life, till he is not just your all in all internally, but he's visibly that. And I do think that's the journey of a life devoted in worship. You know, whether you're in the Presbyterian catechisms, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That my enjoyment of him and my glorification of him becomes, as we age in Christ, more all-consuming. And he's taken over every thought, he's taken over every action as I grow. And so when it was, I make time for you at the beginning of the day, I make time for you at the end of the day, I'm running in out of my paid employment in the office, I'm giving birth to children, and I'm doing the school run and all of that, it becomes this takeover lifestyle where we don't know where I end and he begins and vice versa. And so this sense of constant conversation develops over time, and constant prayer and worship and constant awareness of him develops over time, so that it's life in Christ and it's life by the Spirit. And so rather than here's the devotional book I read, or and I can tell you that, or here's how I structure my quiet times, what I would want to push you to is the takeover life.
Yeah, come on.
The takeover of the Spirit and the prayer of takeover, takeover, takeover all that I am and everything that I thought, think, so that the day begins and ends and it with you is an old-fashioned thought, but till I don't know anything different than you being everything. I actually think you can get there very quickly.
I think you can. One
of my children who's totally there, the other's less so, they're developing the art of it, but one of my children is like, Jesus has taken over. I mean, totally taken over. Yeah. Jesus is king of every part of everything. So this child has moved from Jesus is my savior to Jesus is my Lord. And I do think that's the life progression, because when he's your savior, that's quite compartmentalized. Jesus, can you heal me this in this? Jesus, can you take away this pain? Jesus, can you sort this out? But when Jesus is your Lord and your king, it's a takeover by the kingdom. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and moving towards that space of, rather than, and we don't want to encourage you out of scheduling times. There's value in that, but that's not your start point. That's a method or an expression.
Yeah.
Your start point, your goal is union with Christ, to be fused with him and to be given over to the sway of the Spirit of God and the sway of Jesus Christ. You know, and I love the words of Paul, where he is praying for a people and says, you know, I'm in agony like in childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And Paul is demonstrating this. He's actually longing for a people and for himself that Christ is formed in.
Yeah.
And I think there is this life that is given over where at every fiber of your being, you're saying, I want you, Christ, to be formed in me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be formed into the image of Christ. And that dialogue doesn't just need to sit in a time space or in a book or in a devotion, though they are tools that can help you towards this goal. Mm-hmm. But in all of life, I can be given over to the Spirit of God and to intimacy with Jesus. And intimacy with Jesus should never grow stale or boring, and it should always be developing. And you know, For me, I'm in a wedding season, married by the time you listen to this, and I am encountering Jesus in a whole new way as I consider covenant and marriage and my wife at this, now when you listen to this, in Bella, we are discovering whole new aspects of Jesus because of this particular season that we are in, and the provocation that cutting covenant, you know, between man and woman is to consider covenant with Christ and what that is. To be
Give me an example of one of those things.
There is such a sense of sacrifice that is only ever a joy that I am discovering of intimacy with Christ. And the sacrifice of, because I don't like the word, I think compromise sounds a bit, I don't know, I'm not a fan of it all the time. But in relationship, there is sacrifice. But in in the kingdom of God, it is only
I give myself away.
It is only a joy. And the sacrifice of unto joy of knowing Christ and of choosing him at every point and of the choice to put him first, as I'm choosing to put Bella first and I'm choosing her every day, every moment, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. The inner choice of Jesus, 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 and what that reveals of Jesus, who in turn chooses me, and Bella, as she chooses me, I'm encountering Jesus, who chooses me as well. And there has been such a resilience and a strength on the inside, personally, as I have walked those journeys, even over the last few days.
So different life stories and life ages and stages teach you something different
Absolutely.
About Christ. I get concerned over those questions that we've been asked.
Yeah.
And so don't tell me any of the names of the people who asked. Okay. They're on your Insta. I get concerned of this sense of the compartmentalization.
Yes.
How do you pray? Now, there's validity in because you do, because Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. So there's validity in being taught how to pray. I do think that that's not the question. I think that what we're being asked is this place of the compartmentalization of Christ into moments. And I give me grace if that's not what you guys intended in your asking of it. But I do sense that behind it. And I would want to push in this conversation the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of salvation.
Yeah.
And let's go there. You know, so the gospel of salvation is what we've had for decades. And we've talked about this, you know, at length. Yeah. So I don't want to rehash what you already know. But that sense of the gospel of salvation being, I've come to this place where I acknowledge that I need saving. So I confess my sin and Jesus becomes my savior. It's quite limited. And Jesus saves me. So he's my personal savior. He's my personal savior is very much the gospel of salvation. So I make God rightly personal, but also wrongly contained to the personal. So my personal savior is, do this for me, do that for me. I'm going to have my quiet time with you. I'm going to pray to you as my personal. I'm going to read a book that tells me more about who you are. I'm going to have my personal prayer list. I'm going to have a bit of good responsibility in there, in that I'm going to pray for some other people to be saved. But it's very much within that kind of ballpark. I think the gospel of the kingdom takes away that limited boundary of Jesus only being held to the personal. And the gospel of the kingdom is, I submit to the kingship of a king on a throne. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm less in the, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Here's the moment I'm giving to you. I've carved up my day. Jesus, you're my personal savior. So we have this personal time together. And, you know, keep churning out good things, God, in my life, because that's what you do, because you're my personal savior. And it blows that up. And it adds to that this sense of you are king. Yeah. And I live my life full time as a citizen of your kingdom, where I am a subject to your kingship. So therefore, I wake up in the atmosphere of your rulership and the atmosphere of your kingdom. So I wake up in the atmosphere of righteousness, peace, and joy because of the attributes of your kingdom. I go to sleep in the atmosphere of your supremacy and your dominance. And therefore, I don't wake up or go to bed in fear. I don't live in fear. I'm not battling a spirit of fear because I understand the dominance of your superior and sovereignty and your kingdom. So I'm now in the kingdom and I'm born into the kingdom and born into a place of submission. So the thought of me giving my life away is standard for me in every moment because I adhere to the gospel of the kingdom. So when it comes to my personal time with you, which is necessary, or my intimate time with you, I'm not then coming to you in this compartmentalized way. But my life is so washed by your kingship that I am wanting you to be hailed as king every moment because I understand I'm part of something bigger than myself. And I think it is in the minimizing of the gospel that I got to work to find Christ, whereas in the kingdom of God understanding, I'm washed by the expansiveness of his weight. And therefore, he is overwhelming me at all points because he's so massively sovereign. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So my whole life is lived as a citizen and as a subject to his kingdom. So I'm living in constant submission. Wow. And in constant reverence and awe, and in constant understanding that he's the God on the throne. So therefore, some petty things don't get in the way. And I do think you have to grow out of the gospel of salvation. You've got to grow into the gospel of the kingdom. And in that, you have to ask God to take over as king. So do I read devotional books? Yes. And read the Bible? Yes. And do I listen to endless podcasts? And do I have worship on in the background? Yes, 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 yes. All of those lifestyle things. But I think it's a mindset or an atmosphere around you that I am in a kingdom that is expanding and I am subject in my life to a king is a very different leading thought to I have a personal savior. And it changes how you think about everything.
It does. Because everything has the opportunity to become adoration and worship. Yeah. Back to the lifestyle of worship. I think it's only truly when you're given over to the kingship of Christ and you submit and you say, have control, Holy Spirit, have control, you know, Jesus of my life. It is then that all aspects of your life become worship and become adoration rather than I'm going to have my little quiet worship time or I'm going to have my little quiet time reflecting over here. All of life becomes worship. And then you do need your moments of, I'm actually going to intentionally retreat today and read scripture because I know that's what I need.
Yes.
I'm going to intentionally pursue worship because I know that's what the requirement is. Or I'm going to actually take some time to read a book and to be provoked by the words that someone has penned to help me in a thought or to help me in a process. But you're not putting them as the central force with which your relationship with Christ spins around. They are just methods or tools that you use in your lifelong journey into the kingship of Christ and into being given over to the sway of the Spirit.
I think perhaps what those questions that you guys are asking us is pushing at this thought and see how this feels, Sam. Am I getting it right with Jesus? And that fear that I might not be getting it right.
Yeah.
I think that's massive. Am I getting it right? That's reasonable.
Yeah.
And we do need to sit in those questions. Am I getting this right? The problem with that is that you can answer that question by law or by relationship.
Wow, yeah.
How do you know? I'm going to ask you a personal question. How do you know that you're getting it right with Bella?
How do I know that I'm getting it right with
Bella? Relationally.
There's just a togetherness. I don't quite...
Come on, because it's a difficult question,
there's
isn't it?
There's a togetherness. There's a communication.
Yeah.
There's an honesty. There's a rightness, a feeling. Yeah, it depends what you determine getting it right as.
But this is the point, isn't it?
Because I could say, you know, oh, I could have communicated more today. Did I get it right? Oh, I could. This could have been done. This. Did I get a thing right, so an action right.
Is a funny conversation, isn't it? Because how do I know I'm getting it right with Jesus? Am I doing it right, Jesus? Yeah. Am I doing it right, Jesus? Am I doing it right in my relationship with David or you with Bella? Are we doing it right? The panic of, so you could go away and you could say, I'm going to cook Bella her dinner. I've done it right. Yeah. I served. I cooked the dinner. I made the, you know, I'm going to hoover the house. I'm going to do it right. You know, and this sense of like, it becomes an action that is devoid of emotion. Mm-hmm. And how do I know that my marriage is good? How do I know that your relationship is good? Yes, we have these devoted service orientated acts. We have discipline. We have rigors. We have the things that we do for each other. But ultimately, we know we're in good relationships because it's relationally orientated and it's friendship, absolutely. Ultimately.
There's a flow.
There's a flow of relational connection and a flow of friendship. Now, you do have duty in that.
Absolutely.
But you know it's going okay because there's this ease of relational connection.
Yeah, back and forth.
Back and forth, together. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So it's less about God saying, did you pray for 20 minutes today?
Yeah.
Did you listen to worship a whole worship album? It's not like, if you come to me down the line, and I pray this never happens, but if you come to me down the line and you say, Sam, do you have marriage problems? I've got marriage problems. I am not going to say to you, did you do the dishes?
Yeah. Did you cook our dinner?
That is not going to be where we start. Now, that might fall out of some of the conversation, but what I'm going to ask is this, because this is the first question I always ask when anybody is struggling in their marriage. And it's the first question I asked you about Bella, because it's the first question I ask any relationship that comes in front of me. You'll know it well. What do you love about her?
Mm-hmm.
What do I love about David? What does he love about me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm never going to start a relational conversation with, did you do the dishes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to ask a love-based connection question. And I'm going to remind you why she's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to start over from that.
Yeah.
Why do I love you, Jesus? Why do you love me?
Mm.
And we're going to sit in that and we're going to chat that back and forth. And I'm going to remember who you are. And I'm going to remember who you say I am. And in that, that's going to compel a set of behaviors that will hold rather than how do you pray and how do you,
you know, should I read more?
So because we are in relational questions, not law-based questions.
Mm.
So you need to do, I think some of you need to do that. Why am I in love with Jesus? What do I love about him?
Absolutely.
What does he love about me?
Mm.
And that then perpetuates a whole different set of conversations. Jesus is not your duty. He's your joy.
Mm. And I think for a lot of you, you need to pray, I trust you as King.
Yeah.
And I trust you to be Lord. Not just you are Lord
and
you are King, but the trust, I put my trust in you as Lord. I trust you to be, you've been my Savior and you have saved me. But now in the journey of life, I come to a space where I recognize I need to put my trust, not just in your saving grace, but in your Lordship and your Kingship. I want you to have ultimate control.
Yeah, very good.
Mm.
Yes, that the takeover.
The takeover, Holy Spirit.
The relational takeover.
Yeah.
Relational takeover. And all that means hearts of, ultimately, I think what Jesus is praying in John's gospel, I pray that they would be one as, you know, I'm one with the Father and the Spirit, this fusion of oneness is the, you know, do I need to know truth? Yes. Do I need to study truth? Absolutely. Do I need to pray truth, sing truth, be around people who reinforce that? That sometimes actually, when we do find it hard to pray and the heavens feel like brass and I need to know what it is to go and source somebody else who reminds me of who I am and what God says I am and all of those tips and tricks that we have got to utilize when we feel depressed and down, and remind me who I am, remind me who God is to me, and the portion that community takes in that, that sometimes if you're asking me a genuine question and you're genuinely struggling to find quiet time or whatever you call it, or how you pray or how you read the Bible, and you are absolutely stuck, because sometimes there is that reality where you're absolutely stuck in that, sometimes you just need to get around somebody else and say, just help me out here.
Yeah.
Just help me out. Pray with me. Pray for me. Remind me. Let's have dinner together and have a conversation about who God is to us. Mm. Bring a memorial stone to me of what God has been and what he has done. Prophesy my future for me. Because we don't want you to just ask those questions when actually you are struggling, and you got to be able to know, is it the responsibility of community to help me out here? Is it the responsibility that I pray a takeover prayer? Is it responsibility that I remind myself why I got myself into this?
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things weave together. So we bless you.
Yeah, we do.
To become those who are so deeply in love and with Jesus, so overwhelmed that prayer and intimacy is an easy flow, as great marriage, great friendships, and great connection with Jesus becomes your norm, and we bless you into that. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and the sidekick, not psychic, sidekick, that is Sam Robertson. And we look forward to having your illustrious company again. Bless you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. If you would like to go deeper with us, you would be very welcome to join our network, the Global Prophetic Alliance. You can find that at propheticscots.com, where we have a comprehensive training program to lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit of God and encounter. If you feel a call in the pull to deliverance ministry, you can download my latest e-course, which is a comprehensive overview of getting people free from demonic oppression. You'll find that at demonbusting.com. Join us on these different platforms for more interaction with Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and the GPA team.